We're looking for the stillness, that place where you can just enjoy each other. And, you know, the words don't need to be said because you're almost thinking the same thoughts in some ways. You know, you're just at peace. And when Amanda Cook was singing Still, you know, this preparation for Pentecost or for the Feast of Weeks, it is 3 days of preparing yourself. It's getting your heart right because you want to receive whatever God has for you. And, you know, for this particular one, we're here today on Friday, but Pentecost literally comes Saturday night all the way through Sunday night. So go into the weekend saying, God, you know, I want to receive more of you. That's the whole point of this feast, is that you might encounter God, whether it's from the baptism of the Holy Spirit or for just another renewing, more of his presence. And, you know, you won't get anything if you don't ask. That's the one simple reality. All right, we were talking about these wedding vows that were the Ten Commandments, and they were what you'd have to call a wedding vow fail, but there was a wonderful redemption that came as well. So let's kind of catch up. 3,500 years ago, they've come out of Egypt. They're at Mount Sinai with Moses. So what has God done with the Israelites so far? Well, he instituted Passover in Egypt. Blood on their doors protect them. He delivered them from slavery, a very bad relationship. He killed the firstborn of the Egyptians. And in other words, to say, this is what I'll do to those who try to hurt you. You can be at peace with me. He divided the Red Sea and leads them through, saying, listen, nothing's going to separate me and you. I've got this worked out. This relationship is not an idea that just sprung up. I've got this. He provided over and over all they needed during their long desert journey. And finally, they arrive 50 days later in Mount Sinai, and God says, hey, it's time to marry me. But they are not hearing his words. They're not hearing his heart because they're still slaves in their mentality. Deuteronomy 5, so it was, when you heard the voice from the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, that you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and you said, surely the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God speaks with man, yet he still lives. So there was this hope in them for this very brief moment. This must have been terrifying, though, too. It was intended to comfort them. They were literally the bride of Christ originally, but they didn't get the concept. And he was showing them how awesome he was, that they would never have to fear anyone. You want, when you marry, you're looking for a groom that is also your safety, your place of safety. And that's what he was trying to say. There was fire and there was smoke. There was these trouble. There's all the things that were shakings that for them to say, you know what? This is a great God that loves us. He wasn't trying to scare them. Listen to verse 25. Now, therefore, after they said this, we have seen this day. God speaks with man, yet he still lives. What do they say? Now, therefore, why should we die? It was like, wait, didn't you just cover that? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh who's heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and lived? They say to Moses, you go near and hear all that the Lord our God may say, and tell us what the Lord our God says to you, and we'll hear and do it. So in reality, God comes close to offer marriage. And they say, you know, you're a little scary. You're a little scary. No, thank you. So, verse 28, then the Lord heard the voice of your words, this is Moses speaking, when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people which they have spoken to you. They are right in all they've spoken. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Go and say to them, return to your tents. And that's the saddest verse in the Bible for me. You can hear God's heartbreak. He's going, okay, wedding over. Ceremony ends. The bride goes one way, the groom goes the other way. The marriage is delayed for 1,500 years simply because, you know, the fear of the Lord was confusing to them. They were terrified of him instead of having what he was looking for, with the fear and this love and this intimacy with him. Now, verse 31, speaking to Moses, but as for you, stand here by me, and I'll speak to you all the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which you shall teach them. They may observe them in the land which I'm giving them to possess. Therefore, you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God commanded you. You may live, and that it may be well with you. You may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. So what was intended to be wedding vows became the first 10 commandments of 613 laws in the Torah, 248 positive commandments, the do's, 365 negative commandments, the do nots. To add to their burden, there's the Talmud, which are the traditions and explanation, which is over 6,200 pages long. There are 1,050 commands in the New Testament for Christians to obey. Due to repetitions, we can classify about 800 headings. So if you think somehow we are better off, we're not. We're in the same boat as they are, because when God's looking for intimacy, we're always saying, just give me a rule I can obey. Just tell me what to do, what not to do. And that's not his heart. Here is his heart. These are a rewritten wedding vows, if you will, of the bride of Christ. You'll find them in Revelation 21. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So this is the literal wedding of us, the bride of Christ and Jesus. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, a tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Sounds a lot like the first commandment, doesn't it? God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. He's taking the commands. He's flipping them instead of, you shall not. He's saying, this is what's going to happen. This is my rule, my kingdom, my relationship, my sovereignty is going to cause these things. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I'll give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. And here again, you run into what seem to be rules and laws, but which are simply saying, this is the standard. This is, if you either choose me or you choose something else. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So that seems, anytime you look at anything where God lays it out, he gives you both sides of it. He gives you this wonderful side, come to me, and if you don't, and there you go. There's your Pentecost.
It's all about perspective. It's all about what we see and how we see God. You know, on the good days, he's our great God. On the bad, he's the one that's bringing the wrath.
Yeah, it's like, why did you do this to me? It's like, oh, I really didn't. Is this what you did this
to? Yeah, 1,500 years. You know, they made the wrong choice.
Yeah, bad choice.
Bad choices. And so, you know, that's our encouragement, to continue to follow him. Don't look at him as rules of, you know, this heavenly father that's coming down and with discipline. But, hey, this is what I want to do for you. But if you don't, this is what happens. It's being proactive. It's proactive parenting already.
And in the reality of marriage is this. When you stood at an altar, you said vows. You made commitments, do's and don'ts with each other. Mm-hmm. You committed certain things. But you didn't give harsh rules.
Yeah.
You did say, I'm going to be with you, and you're going to be with me. Nobody else is involved. That wasn't a harsh command. It was, listen, we're committing ourselves to each other here. So, and we're not going to go do this. So it's a wonderful thing that God has given us, and we shouldn't end without this simple reality of as sad as it is that for the Jews, for 1,500 years, they didn't get to know this marriage. Mm-hmm. And when Jesus came, he gave them that opportunity, and again, rejected, but a lot of them didn't reject it. But for those he did, he said, you know what? I'm going to make you heart hungry for me through the Gentiles. And so it is our responsibility, great responsibility, that we pray for Israel, that we pray for their hearts to turn, because it was only the opening that they brought in that brought all the Gentiles in. And we should have a right attitude towards that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never been to a wedding ceremony that had chains and death. It was always flowers and life, you know, and that's what it's all about. It's all it's all about.
Simple thing. And this is who Jesus, and this is Pentecost.
Yeah. Blog.victory.radio to hear all the clips, listen and read through the notes. They'll be up later this afternoon. Victory 915's Facebook page and victory.radio.